Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Welcome back. Great to have Dino and Brendan join me for an hour between 9 and 10 o'clock looking at racing around Australia yesterday. Dino, a formula bet, a Rammer's Ruffy and a Quaddy. It was a good day at Moonee Valley for you yesterday.
Yeah, thanks very much, Warren. Look, I went into the meeting with trepidation, but I did the form for a certain way, thinking that how the track would play, and luckily, we read that part right. I don't know if it's the right thing for a Saturday meeting, rail out 4 metres with one meeting at the Valley in the middle of winter, but at least we got a prize out of it yesterday.
And as Dino mentioned, Brendan, we had an idea of what might happen because they do that renovation, and Marty Synan's indicated that winter's not the great time because you don't get the growth. So you go there with a little bit of an underdone track in terms of being able to consolidate post that renovation, and it probably played accordingly yesterday.
Yeah, up against the fence, it was the place where you wanted to be. But all credit to Moonee Valley, though. They were putting, well, you could say warning signs out, but they were giving us plenty of notice that could have been the case from early on in the week. So it wasn't like we were going there totally unprepared. If you just take a look at the way the Valley can tend to play when that rail does start to get out.
Yeah, and with that renovation, hopefully it does consolidate, as Dino mentioned, the one meeting, so not a lot of racing at Moonee Valley in the next few weeks, and does get a chance to repair that little bit and maybe even get a bit of warmer weather by the time we get more consistent racing back there. One of the highlights and one of the anticipated clashes of yesterday was Race 8, Django Friedman and Harbour Views going head-to-head.
Tavi run all to Hoying, joined by Harbour Views, the first to go. Django Freeman getting off the heels of the leader, then WT Hangman and So You Win. Harbour Views takes the lead at the 200 from all to Hoying, then Django Freeman taking time to wind up from WT, who's coming into it, but Harbour Views, 100 metres to go, still well clear, two legs WT, Django Freeman, all to Hoying, and it's Harbour Views for Johnny Allen. Harbour Views won it well from WT. Third Django...
Well, a clash that had been well anticipated. Dino, just had a chat to Matty Williams regarding the performance of Harbour Views. How did you see the race?
Look, I thought, you know, when you get a track like that, the feature of the meetings is often the great riding, and because you've got to be on a certain part of the track and you know, be prepared to maybe sacrifice a position to get down closer to the rail. But in this race, Johnny Allen just wanted to have Django Freeman in his sights, and he had him inside exactly where he wanted him. He could build momentum when he wanted to, and Django Freeman had to wait. It didn't affect the result, I think, but when it was a crucial part of the race and Johnny Allen got the points there, the other feature of the riding ranks yesterday was the riding of Billy Egan in three races. He was just outstanding, and on WT in this race, he cut through the field, somehow got inside Hangman coming up to the turn and just kept weaving through and got that horse into the placings. Django Freeman, I thought, ran well because when he wanted to go, he couldn't. And it's then hard to pick up again on testing ground and get momentum going again. So I thought his run was acceptable. But yeah, Harbour Views, I've been neutral on him. He won me a little bit yesterday. He certainly, he's opened up avenues being able to run 2,000 metres anyway.
And just to reiterate, talking about where the riders wanted to be, when people are looking back at this meeting and perhaps even watching replays and trying to analyse the relative merit of performances of horses, what did you think was the part of the track that you wanted to be able to play in?
Well, yeah, I mean, in the straight it really didn't matter, but it was from about the 500 to into the straight. When they're turning and anything was trying to make the run out wide, just kept getting further and further out of the race. So you had to make a prisoner of the fence for as long as you could and then come out. And that was the only mixed message I did get off the Moonee Valley going into the meeting, that they said the inside would chop out. Well, it still raced well right to the very end, and it usually does with the rail 4 metres and those horses out wide. And you'd be very forgiving in this race of a few. And So You Win was one that was too far back and then had to come out. But yeah, that's what you want to look for if you're wanting to be forgiving of horses. Those that were trying to make that 4 and 5 wide run coming to the turn and had momentum coming into it, they actually lost ground rather than made ground.
How do you see this race, Brendan?
I thought it was just a beautiful piece of writing from Johnny Allen. He's one of my favourites, Harbour Views. I think that's nearly the cleanest he's left the gates yesterday. He was really swiftly out of the gates yesterday, which allowed Johnny to really put him up in that spot outside of Django Freeman. And he had the aces in his hand from the time they swung the bottom turn. There was a couple up there three deep, but it was always going to be tough for them by the time they got out towards that 500-600 metre area. And Johnny just had the chance to pull the trigger when he wanted to. Django Freeman, he was good. He needed to be out and rolling when Harbour Views was coming with his run. He was just left there marking time, Craig Williams, and he had no option but to wait. I thought he was okay. Would have liked to have maybe seen him held off WT, who gave him a nice hip and shoulder out of the way on the turn, as Dino outlined. Billy Egan, not only riding well there yesterday, but he's just riding well everywhere. He copped the wrath of the stewards there yesterday. He'll get a little bit of a holiday, but he's just riding so well. I thought All Too Hoying battled okay on the pace, as did Tabby Run, but they were entitled to do so the way the track was playing, and then probably just put a line, anything that settled behind that top four, that the first five or the first four across the line. It was just too hard for anything else to get into the race, but I still think he would have liked maybe Tavi Run or Too Hoying to cart him a little bit further into the straight, Harbour Views. He was good and he was committed to the run, but if he's got something to chase for a little bit further, I think that's when we'll really see him flatten the ears back and really let go in that last 150 or so.
We've heard Dino's thoughts on how he assesses the way the track was playing. What are your thoughts?
It was just hard to make ground. If you were back in the field, admittedly some of the races earlier on in the day were run at really slow tempos, but on the screen at the moment there's the second event, and horses like Barbie's Fox, Le Chevalier, they were back in a slowly run race, but the further they were progressing into the race trying to make ground, they just weren't getting anywhere. They were just marking time and holding their spots. That was a really slowly run race, so not probably the best example, but if you're back in the field trying to make a looping run, it was just a big forget for me.
Hangman features in the stewards report. James Winks reported his mount race flat. A post-race veteran examination revealed a slow recovery. So perhaps just a forgive for Hangman, who was not necessarily as highly regarded as both Django Freeman and Harbour Views going into the race, but definitely performed below market expectations. A note in the stewards report regarding Hangman in race 8. Back to the top of the card. Some talented two-year-olds, some lightly raced, even some on debut went around in the first.
Island Joy just in front at the 300 from Notazak under the whip, Crosshaven, followed by Marnix, Jabali Ridge, and Sense of Honour tries to run on in the straight. Island Joy at the 200 from Crosshaven, Notazak not done with. Now Sense of Honour is coming home hard. Crosshaven takes the lead from Island Joy. Sense of Honour flashing through. Crosshaven lifting, and Crosshaven beat Island Joy, Notazak for fourth. I'd say Sense of Honour from Jabali Ridge.
Well, he's a little bit easy at times during the betting, Brendan, but he did go around a $2.45 favourite, and he won the first. What was your take on this race?
Oh, he had a nice run. He had little excuses to offer up, didn't he? He had a nice run behind Notazak and Island Joy. They didn't go overly hard. He peeled with his run at the 400, and when you thought he was really going to get up and get level with the leaders, he maybe just didn't handle the turn all that well. He wobbled a little bit. He took some riding to get around it, but once he flattened out and let go, he was pretty good in his last 150 metres. Island Joy, Notazak, second and third, they were entitled to kick with the runs they had. Sense of Honour, really good tempo against, closed off strongly. Jabali Ridge, good without a lot of room, but Crosshaven had the right run to win the race, and he got it all right in the last 100 or so when he was really hitting the line at his best.
First leg of the formula bet here, Dino, how did you mark Crosshaven's victory?
Got away with it yesterday, Warren. I don't necessarily think Moonee Valley will be his track. He was a little, and he's still learning. I mean, I think he's looking for 1,400 and a bigger track, but what I liked early, Daniel Stackhouse was positive out of the gates and knew where he wanted to be. He knew that where the two leaders were going to be, and he got the spot he needed to be in to win the race. And they made the announcement they wanted to ride Jabali Ridge further. 40 couldn't quite get there. You knew that Sense of Honour was going to get back, and I thought Sense of Honour's run under the circumstances was outstanding. Best last 600, 400, 200 of the meeting. I think Ben Mellon probably identified how the track was playing, and he waited and had to wait till he straightened up to make the run, whereas a horse like Marnix tried to make something happen but was just out in no man's land and a total forgive run. But they've sprinted home hard in this race, and Crosshaven got the job done. But I think he'll be better again at 1,400 and, as I said, on a bigger track.
Bunch finished to some extent, a length and a bit, the first five across the line. But how do you assess the overall strength of this race, Dean?
Yeah, I'm not knocking the form because they went steady and they really dashed home. And they're entitled to because they did go steady. But you can see them all going in different sort of ways. Crosshaven up in trip. Sense of Honour just looks a really nice filly to get out over further. Jabali Ridge is going to win one of these sort of races pretty soon. Island Joy could go, you know, was first filly home, could go back to filly's grade. So you can see them funneling different ways and winning races. And they haven't, the one thing they haven't had yesterday was a taxing run, where a lot of horses coming off this meeting will have had taxing runs. This group really only sprinted home their last 400 or 500 metres.
Few via the SMS 0416 90 50 52. If you've got a thought on racing around Australia yesterday, Dave from Bendigo is a regular contributor. He took an all-girl parlay yesterday with Talia Hope, Jamie Carr and Georgie Cartwright, bundling them up in different ways and showed a good profit. Thanks for letting us know that, Dave. Your parlays have been profitable in recent weeks, and one just from a no-namer, Dino, just calling you a champion. So someone's obviously had a good day on the punt, courtesy a couple of your tips yesterday. And Crosshaven getting the day off to a good start with a win in the first. Race two at Moonee Valley yesterday was over 1,600 metres. Smoke Bomb blew the start. Last start was a different story yesterday.
Smoke Bomb, who has really stacked them up, approaching the turn at the 450, tried to ping away again by a length and a half. Bellows, Winsome Voyage, First Responder, then Le Chevalier, Barbie's Fox, trying to loop them from Garin Piero, Chloe's Day and Alphaville. Smoke Bomb went for the doctor, though. Around the turn at the 200 metres, three lengths in front of Winsome Voyage, Alphaville, Garin Piero, Barbie's Fox, Le Chevalier. But it's the grey. Smoke Bomb going well, and Smoke Bomb's going to lead all of the way. Won it by a length and a half. Alphaville, third Garin.
You referenced, Brendan, just watching the replays, that horses like Barbie's Fox and Le Chevalier just sort of pull out to get into areas to make ground, but effectively just were anchored out there out wide. And Smoke Bomb just beginning cleanly was the key yesterday by the look of it.
He was. That's the way he'd been going about his business prior to the mishap there at Caulfield, where he still ran really well for a horse that was so slowly away and is usually up there controlling the race. He adapted well that day, but Jamie Carr up on the speed yesterday really just grabbed the race by the scruff of the neck, got away some really, really cheap splits along the back and up the side and just gave them no chance at running him down. I thought Alphaville was the horse that was in the right part of the track, was able to sneak up the inside, saved a stack of green. Gampiero got a great ride through the pack from Dewitt. Just the difference between going five and six deep to three horses deep was probably on show there with Gampiero, just being able to cut through and make that ground late. Chloe's Day probably got held up at a wrong time. She could have finished a little bit closer. But then Le Chevalier, Barbie's Fox, horses of that ilk that were back and out wide and trying to make ground, just put a line through them and forget they went around yesterday. Liberate, a little bit disappointing for her. She was in an awkward spot, got shuffled back, probably not her ideal spot being back there. We've seen her up there trying to control races outside of the speed in recent times, and I think she got a mention in the stewards report, but Jamie Carr just dominated it on from the front with Smoke Bomb.
Yeah, that reference in the stewards report that you mentioned, Liberate heading off to the spelling paddock, and I think Mick Price on racing.com post-race commenting as much that he may well have gone to the well once too often. Dino, what was your take on race two?
Yeah, well, it was a beautiful bit of riding by Jamie Carr. I don't think there's many sweeter sights in racing when she gets a horse balanced and running, and she did it a couple of times yesterday, and this horse from the front was just given a beautiful ride. But the great ally that he had was at the 800-metre mark. He had a roughie on his outside, a $47 chance, $31 chance three wide, and a $21 chance behind him. So virtually built a cocoon around him. So the good chances, knowing how the track was having to play, had to get going and get around. And this is where Le Chevalier, you watch the replay, you've got to watch the first 200 metres. That's where the race was lost for Le Chevalier. And a horse like Alphaville, who ran second, Craig Williams maximised his result by just coming back a length early, going hard to the inside, and then just riding on the best part of the track. And that got Alphaville, who's going very well, got him a good result running second. Garin Piero much the same, whereas it was a horrible result for Le Chevalier, who was just in no man's land, and Barbie's Fox as well, who's just having no luck since that first up win.
Smoke Bomb jumping cleanly this week, owning the race with Jamie Carr aboard, as Dino outlined, just travelling so sweetly. They just looked like they were in unison for the whole race, and she kicked away to win aboard Smoke Bomb easily. Lockie King had to work hard to lift Holbein over the line in the third.
Holbein has them stretching at the 400. Strategic Phil loves a chase. Kaplumpich a half length off those. 3 lengths, So We Are. Then Heavenly Emperor and Sikorsky going backwards. Strategic Phil moves up to Holbein and they set two at the 200. Strategic Phil gets a 10 in front of Holbein. A long gap, Kaplumpich, So We Are. Strategic Phil and Holbein, a bitter battle. 100 to go. Holbein's fighting. Holbein and next Strategic Phil. And Holbein. Holbein won it from Strategic Phil. So We Are third from Kaplumpich.
On the quick backup after a narrow victory at Flemington last week, Dino, how did this race pan out?
Panned out well for him because he was always going to find the front, and being on the rail, that was a good place to be. And with Sikorsky virtually not turning up and a few others having the wrong sort of runs, he was able to win, and he deserved his win. He hasn't won for a long time, but he puts himself up on the pace, makes his own luck, and yesterday was his day. This was another one of the Billy Egan specials on Strategic Phil. Got down to the inside, got up inside Heavenly Emperor early, and that just changed the whole complexion of the race for the two horses. A real sliding doors moment that Strategic Phil got on the back of Holbein and then all but won. And Heavenly Emperor just got into a horrible spot, really, given the context of the day, and was out of play. Poor old Kaplumpich, these barrier draws are just crueling him, but he ran very well. And this is a race where you see, as we mentioned, Craig Williams knew how he had to ride the track. He actually tried to put Master Shahood into the race. I don't think it really suited him, so I'd be very forgiving him as well, because that's the other thing that can happen on these days. Horses are ridden too close, and I think he was a bit of a victim of that yesterday.
Couple of notes from the stewards report before we get to you, Brendan. Kaplumpich race 3 wide without cover. Dino outlined the barriers haven't been that kind to him. And Sikorsky over-raced in the early and middle stages, weakened from the 400, eased down in the straight. Damien Oliver reported that Wallace Mount had to do a little bit of early work. He was disappointing, may have come to the end of the preparation, and nothing was revealed from a post-race examination. Brendan, what was your take on race 3?
Well, at about the 400, you thought Strategic Phil was the one that was going to go past Holbein at the back end of 1,600 metres, but he got there, and Holbein, to his credit, gave a good kick in the right part of the track. Strategic Phil had all the favours, as Dean outlined there, on the fence following Slice, run through off the back of the leader, and was right there to win the race. He just couldn't overpower, just got tired that last 100 metres or so. So We Are, Regan Bayless, three back the fence, followed through on the back of the runner-up Strategic Phil. Poor old Kaplumpich covered ground three deep, and if you go back and have a look, he's probably the best run of the day that didn't figure in the top three placings. He sat three deep throughout and still finished fourth, only beaten, what was he, beaten 3.5 lengths. Heavenly Emperor got into a shocking spot, and when Sikorsky called it a day, that didn't help his case at all. He was dragged back probably a length or so further than he would have been. If not, I feel he probably was going to be right in the finish. But Holbein well rated in front by Lockie King. Strategic Phil definitely had his chance.
The Amy and Ashiagi stable having a great run of it at the moment, but Sickening reared in the barriers and got his leg up over the petition, and the stewards withdrew him as a late scratching on veterinary advice, and he has to jump out prior to getting back to the races. So hopefully all's well with Sickening, who's been actually going quite well, as have the stable for Amy and Ashiagi. Dino, a few weeks ago I got a little bit of homework to do, and as usual, back to my school days, I'm a little bit late doing it, but Neil, a nephew of Roy Higgins, had been asking us about the Group 1 tally for Roy, and I've done a little bit of homework with Nick Egan in particular and Jason Richardson, who've been involved in collating a number of things. And it is true that it's likely that Roy Higgins' Group 1 tally will be reduced to 90, is the number that I have, and I think I stand corrected, Dino, but the initiation of the listed and group races was around about 1973, before they were just called principal races?
Yeah, I think 1979, but maybe that, yeah, I thought it was, late 70s, but it's certainly, with the classifications, it was late 70s, yeah.
Late 70s, stand corrected there, but there was about 31 races that were allocated to Group 1 victories. And thank you for Jason Richardson confirming it was 79 and 80 that was initiated. I think something like 31 races that were allocated as Group 1 victories to Roy, but races like the Menzies and the Lightning that were subsequently upgraded to Group 1 status. So the calculation of 90 effectively is assessing all of the races that were Group 1 races when that system was put in place, and not races that were subsequently upgraded to Group 1s that Roy won. So if they weren't included in the inaugural classification of a Group 1 race, then the 90 Group 1 victories is the number that's been allocated to Roy under that basis, Dino. And I suppose a race that's subsequently upgraded, if it wasn't a Group 1 at the time that they put that system in place, then you can argue that it wasn't a Group 1 before that time.
Yeah, oh, exactly right. And I mean, there's other jockeys that have won Group Ones races have been downgraded, but when they were one at the time, they were Group Ones, so they count, like the VRC Sires, the South Australian Oaks, which is now the South Australian Classic Group 3, I think. So that at the time that they were raced, though, they were Group Ones.
Doesn't diminish the role that Roy Higgins has played in racing throughout Australia. And in your life, Dino, I know a photo of you in Gunsin's colours on Roy's back is something that takes a pride and place as a cherished memory for you.
Absolutely. He was a very close friend of the family's. My grandfather was his golfing partner, and Roy was he was an absolute legend of the sport, and he was the one that he probably transgressed the racing and then went into the media and made a great fist of it.
Talia Hope's been back in the saddle with some good success following a serious illness and also some injuries. She was aboard Ashlaw in race 4 yesterday.
400 to go. Tavasana, Neck, Ashlaw, two lengths. Morrissey, Spirit of Aquata, given a reminder. All over Bossa Nova, retreating. Passed by Great Again, Wagner. Tavasana and Ashlaw together on the point of the corner. Two lengths. Morrissey, Great Again, Wagner. It's Ashlaw taking Tavasana, then Morrissey. Ashlaw halfway up the straight from Morrissey. Tavasana, and then came Great Again. Ashlaw clear. Morrissey's going to make a dive. Ashlaw just beat Morrissey. Tavasana third. Photo fourth. Missiano or
Dan McCarthy, Dave Strain connections. They've supported Talia Hope quite a bit throughout her career. Yeldab, a recent victory at midweek level for Talia. And how did the race shape up for the team yesterday, Brendan?
Not too bad. Up on the outside of Tavasana. Tavasana wasn't able to really shake him like he had been, like his win at Caulfield, where he was able to get out and just gallop by himself. Ashlaw was there pouring the pressure on him the whole way. He's a Moonee Valley horse. He gets around the track perfectly, and he just was serving it up to Ashlaw coming to the turn. And Talia Hope did a good job with Ashlaw to keep him going, because Morrissey was right there on his back waiting for the chance to come out and pounce, and he was pouncing late. Ashlaw was probably all out because they cruised along at a reasonably good gallop throughout the race. I thought Miss Ayano was a bit unlucky back on the inside. She just got a pair further back than she wanted on the back of Spirit of Aquata, who dropped out coming to the turn, and she just had to wait for her turn to get through. She maybe holds the back of Tavasan, or can just be in front of Spirit of Aquata. She probably finishes a lot closer than what she did. Thought Wagner was pretty good. Great Again. Just put a little bit of a pin through his run there. He was three deep. That's not where you wanted to be yesterday. He was still okay towards the back end after a tough run on that track, and More Than Exceed was back and tried to loop them, which you couldn't do there yesterday. A race dominated from the front. Winner led, runner up, sat on his back and just couldn't get past him.
Note in the stewards report regarding Great Again with a degree of lameness in the near foreleg. So probably another reason, Dino, why we would forgive Great Again. What were your thoughts on this race?
Yeah, when it had become apparent by this stage, well, and going into the meeting as we spoke about, that you'd want to be in certain spots on the track. And that's where the more experienced riders get it right. But Talia Hope was very sharp here and took advantage of, I think, probably a couple not reading the play as well. Like Tavasan was always going to be keen to lead or be prominent. All over Bossa Nova actually drew inside Tavasan and Ashlaw, and by the first turn ended up three wide. So just wasn't sharp enough into the spot all over Bossa Nova. It's got beaten a fair way, but it was then on the wrong part of the track for the whole race. Another one that was well beaten yesterday, I'd forgive, is Spirit of Aquata, because he used Barrier 1 to a little degree because of the way the day's panning out. He was ridden too close, and that's not the way to ride him. So a forgive run there. So these are the things with these sort of meetings. You certainly can find winners, and though I think be very forgiving of All Over Bossanova. I don't know where she goes to win a race, but certainly Spirit of Aquatica maybe get back down the straight and run well, and as you said, great again, wide and pulled up lame.
And Stewart's report saying that All Over Bossanova may not have been suited on the quick backup, but nothing from a veterinary examination post race. So early report is that she's come through well. So perhaps an opportunity for All Over Bossanova to improve with a bit of a gap between runs out of race four yesterday. Race five, Miss Catherine Sansom, an iconic star, were in the market. Ollie read the play beautifully here.
Miss Catherine under her own steam just in front of Iconic Star coming up towards the turn. Then Sansom, who hooks out three deep, stoked up from Young Liam. And back behind those horses, Zack Attack and South Street Boss. Miss Catherine with Iconic Star, who didn't handle the corner that well. Then Sansom, Young Liam. Miss Catherine 100 to go, but Iconic Star just about has her. And Sansom runs on Iconic Star. Ollie is roaring at his charge. Three quarters in front, and Iconic Star beats Sansom, Miss Catherine. Young Liam 4, then South Street Boss.
Well, Ollie knew where he wanted to be here. Dino, what are your thoughts on this race?
Yeah, it was a really crucial moment at the start that Young Liam didn't break that keenly, and then Dwayne Dunn, as they were going to the first turn, elected to just take hold, and Ollie was able to slide up outside Miss Catherine, and from there he was able to just put that little bit of pressure on. She wobbled a bit on the bend first go Melbourne way, but was still too good with race fitness on her side. Sansom ran really well. I thought he probably wandered a bit around the turn as well and got out into that where maybe he didn't want to be on just the last part of the arc of the bend, but flattened out well late and ran very well. Miss Catherine ran well, but this was going to always be a different pressure than what she's been exposed to. She's been a dictator in her races, and I'm not dropping off her at all, but that'll stand her in good stead. Having that run yesterday, she'll improve off that, I think.
You referenced Young Liam, and the Stewards report has him bounded at the start and then was affected by knuckling as well. So he's certainly got into a spot where he was out of his comfort zone, taking on tougher opposition. Now, under the circumstances, he's probably run very well to be beaten a couple of lengths.
He ran very well because I think he probably in a position he's never really been in because of the start and having to pace himself. He's been just a bit of a free runner, and I thought he ran well. Those four had a bit of a margin over South Street Boss, who just rode the fence, and as we said, that was a good place to be and ran quite well. But, the first four were the dominant factors. But, going forward, I think Sansom, 1,100, 1,200 metres, and Miss Catherine, with the benefit of that run and that sort of pressure, will I think she'll gain a lot of benefit from that.
What's your take on this race, Brennan?
Yeah, Miss Catherine just had to do that a little bit more work than she probably would have liked. It was always going to be hard getting across Young Liam, but the fact that he was a little bit slow out just forced the hand just to work a little bit more, and Georgie maybe just had to let her roll a little bit stronger than she might have wanted coming down to that first turn, and probably told at the back end she still had her chance there up on the speed. Iconic Star didn't do herself any favours on the turn, but Ollie got her into the right spot, and once she hit the straight line, she was very, very good, and maybe the margin might have been a little bit more had she handled the corner better. Sampson held the margin to the line, was about a length off, and finished there. I thought he was a good effort. Young Liam, solid, ridden back in behind, and then the rest were a little bit off this first quartet over the line.
First leg of the quaddy looked like an even race on paper. Subsequently, It's Kind of Magic went around a $4.60 favourite in race six.
It's Kind of Magic held together at the 450, Annette Kalkani Royale. Then Felicia and Gimme the Goss from Heavenly Light, Hecker Express. Paul's Regret is next in the field from Power Boom. And then came Lankin Star Salika. Kalkani Royale gets its neck in front of It's Kind of Magic. Felicia out in plenty of time in the straight. At the 150, Kalkani Royale led by a length and a quarter. Felicia's trying to grind her down. Kalkani Royale going strongly, punched out. And Kalkani Royale won it. Felicia second, Power Boom third, Paul's Regret fourth.
Building a nice record, Kalkani Royale, and gee, Kevin Corson's, Brendan's doing a terrific job with his team.
firing at the moment. He had South Street Boss pick up some money there in fifth place, and then Kalkani Royal. No worries about it getting being in a restricted room there yesterday. Up outside of It's Kind of Magic. Not sure if it's the wet ground, but she's not the horse we've seen at Moonee Valley going back into December on the good three, where she won before going to the Gold Coast. She's a different animal at the moment, whether there's an issue there or she just doesn't like the wet ground. That was on a rock-hard good three that day that she was able to win so impressively. But Kalkani Royal sat outside her, probably left in front a little bit sooner than we would have thought. Felicia was the one in the run, had the run on the fence. It's Kind of Magic probably didn't help her out all that much, but she was able to get out and chase well. But there were horses in this race that were working wide up on the speed, and they just had very little chance. Heavenly Light, Hecker Express, Lankin Star. I thought Knowles was a really good run. Running on from the back was one of few to really get through the line in that race. Paul's Regret was just fair, I thought. Of the others there, Gimme the Goss was up there in the firing line, but was dropping out approaching the turn, and Kalkani Royal and Felicia really put a bit of a margin on them late. Power Boom was one that was down nearer the rail that was able to track through and be in that right spot, but all honours to Kalkani Royal.
Report regarding It's a Kind of Magic, Dino. A post-race veterinary examination revealed the filly to be lame in the near hind leg. She just, she was obviously disappointing last start and perhaps an excuse yesterday. Looked like a wide leg of the quaddy. You loaded it up, but that's probably what you want when you load it up, getting a good double-figure odds winner to put some value into the quaddy.
Right, Warren, and I was surprised It's Kind of Magic. I thought there was no way on the day she'd start favourite when the track was still a soft six, but she's obviously had that excuse as well, and I think she's just a bone-dry tracker. What Kalkani Royal appreciated, it was only 100 metres, but back to 1,200 and got a great break from the gates, and these things are so important on a day like this. She got to get outside the lead, travel well, actually kicked on really well late in the race, ran the best last 200 of the race from on top of the speed. So it was a good win. Forget about track biases, etc. That was just a really good win. Felicia, I think 1,100's about her go. She peeled out to really make a challenge, and she just peaked on her run late. But she's still running very, very well for Dean Bernays. I thought Knowles was one of the best runs of the day. She had no chance from the back, got through the field, ran well, but the Forgive runs... It's great watching the stewards vision on racing.com. You can virtually draw a line on those that are in the wrong lanes, and they've all finished down the track. But the likes of Lankin Star, Heavenly Light, Hecker Express, St. Edward's Crown, they're all just in the wrong lanes. So it was a non-event for them.
A couple via the SMS, and we'll cover off a few of them. Dino, one just questioning Craig Williams, thinking he perhaps should have led on Django Friedman from the barrier. What would your thoughts on if he was leading on Django Friedman? Was that where you thought he might end up being?
No, I thought Tavirun had lead, and there was a strong intent there. I think had he kept pushing, Tavirun would have kept pushing harder, because we know that's where Tavirun races best. So I think he probably put a fair bit of faith in Tavirun kicking, and I thought he was the main danger, so I would have probably ridden I was thinking he was riding the exact race he should have, but come to the 400 and Tavirun didn't get that kick on, and Harbourview's got the fly on him, and it was the big difference.
Might have been the way it panned out. Thanks for your input, Jono from St Kilda, but maybe Tavirun giving a little bit more of a kick, a gap opening up for Craig to slide off his back, might have been a scenario where Django could have finished a little bit closer to Harbourview's yesterday. Tony's done with Sikorsky. Well, I think we're all done with Sikorsky, but maybe the stable will send him for a break. Thanks for your text, Tony. And we'll get to the Queensland meeting later on. Isn't Dale Smith riding well on some long shots? And he did get that big win yesterday. Thanks for your input there, Tony. And glad to know that Neil was listening regarding my late homework regarding Roy. And he's offered some thanks for us being able to find that out and get to the bottom of it. No trouble, Neil. Happy to help. Moonee Valley yesterday continuing on from race six, where Kalkani Royal took out that race with Dwayne Dunn aboard. And controversial race, Travis Harrison Cup, a dead heat between Plonciel and Shot of Irish.
Shot of Irish up towards the corner, kicked away, 250 metres to go, two lengths Plenciel, Chapel City, they were followed by Reykjavik looking to run on, but Shot of Irish in front, 100 to go, Plenciel a very good second, up horses trying to pick it up, it's on the inside, Shot of Irish, Plenciel slowly but surely, they hit it, close, Shot of Irish or Plenciel, very close, a gap, Mask of Time for third with...
Another one of your Billy Egan specials from yesterday, Dino, although he did incur the wrath of the stewards for overuse of the whip. And in doing so, I suppose in a dead heat, create some controversy.
Yeah, take that rule out, Warren, and then there'll be no controversy about being able to protest. Look, Billy won this race or got to the dead heat position in the first 100 metres, and Mask of Time may have lost this race in the first 100 metres because... Yeah, it was just the sharpness of Billy Egan to identify the day, took advantage of the first little bit of the race, always knew where Shot of Irish was going to be. Shot of Irish, I think, there's a little bit of trepidation going into the race. Michael Walker does like to back it off when he gets the front, and he did to a degree, and that's why they came to him early. But the horse gave a good enough kick, and Plenciel was able to get up and get the dead heat. He's a maligned horse, Mask of Time, but gee, he might have missed his chance yesterday. He's been beaten a fair margin, but he was desperately unlucky. Not much went right for him at all in the run, and very forgiving of Reykjavik out widely, Apari and Safin all in the wrong lanes. But terrific finish. Great ride by Billy Egan, and Mask of Time, I think, the really unlucky runner.
Biometric with Craig Williams aboard. The way the track was playing, he rode the horse on the speed, and he added that he was perhaps not comfortable there, better suited with a quieter ride, and the soft track conditions was not necessarily in the favour of Biometric, who pulled up with a slow recovery, Brendan. So perhaps a forgive file for Biometric. Also, what was your take on the dead heat?
Good ride from Billy Egan. Jumped out proactive onto the fence. He knew that Shot of Irish was going to be in front of him and carted him up a long way. And he still, with that speed on across the back when Chapel City went up and put the pressure on, he was just doing enough to protect that inside so no one could drop in front of him. And when it was time to stoke up, he had plenty of room to come through and work off the back of Shot of Irish. He was brave again. He had Biometric pressure him through the first 200 metres or so of the race, and just as he probably had seen that off, Chapel City came around and had a go at him, and he kept on toughing it out again. As Dean mentioned, Mask of Time had the opportunity probably to jump better and hold the fence on the back of Shot of Irish, but maybe just a fraction slow, maybe just beaten to the punch. But on the turn, he was just held up for a long, long time behind Chapel City and couldn't, behind Biometric, I beg your pardon, and couldn't get out. And he was really strong through the line. Love the run of Reykjavik. He's trending beautifully towards the Winter Championship again.
One of the higher rating races of the day from a handicapping point of view, Brendan, what you mentioned, the Winter Championships for Reykjavik heading back there, what do you think might be a target for some of the others, particularly, say, Plonciel, who might be even better when he gets out beyond 1,600 metres? Much around for him in that distance range?
Not sure, Warren. Haven't really dug up towards the next couple of weeks, but there'll be a 2,000-metre race in a couple of weeks or so at Flemington. I think that might be right for him. But if you go back through it, when he fires, he generally fires early on in his preparation. But he was a good run there yesterday, and you'd think he could bounce off that and maybe somewhere where he can build his momentum a little bit better than being cluttered up on the inside as well. Sometimes might suit him. But you would think the majority of these would probably just continue on towards the Winter Championship.
I think Matty Williams might have referenced that if he does need to get Harbour View's rating up a little bit higher, there might be another race around 2,000 metres at Caulfield in a couple of weeks, Dino. And as an Easter Cup winner, could that be a progression for Plonciel? How did you think he might trend out of this race?
I reckon as he's got older, he might be better shorter trips, Warren. He's now 8 goes at the mile, 4 wins, 2 placings. So I'd be thinking he might just be kept fresh and go to the Winter Championship too, because... he ran very well at Flemington first up, and he's backed it up with a good run yesterday. And, I think as Brendan said, he's good to catch early in the preparation. I think as he's got older, that's more apparent. So I think that might be his target.
Rammer's Ruffy was going around in the last yesterday. Jamie Carr, again, looking for a double. This time teaming up with Will Clarkin. That's no shock with Be My Star.
River Jewel just in front of She's a Thief at the 450. Then our long Sally. Further back is Cabini, the inside, needing some luck. So too Be My Star, Persuader trying to stoke up with Secura. And they were followed by See Me Exceed, held up and Broadway and Force a long way back. River Jewel on the point of the corner at the 200 metres, led by a length. She's a Thief. Be My Star has got out, and Persuader down the outside at the 100. River Jewel grabbed by Be My Star. Be My Star took the front. She's a Thief keeps kicking on, but Be My Star has won the last. River Jewel second. She's a Thief.
Jamie Carr just blending into the race at the right time here. Brendan, what just your thoughts on the way the last was run?
Got a nice running behind, a nice tempo. River Jewel, She's a Thief, rolled along at reasonable splits. Both gave really good kicks on the turn and were probably, you could say, a little bit lucky to be unlucky to be run down. Be My Star just had the nice sit-in behind them when Along Sally dropped off, paved the way for Jamie Carr to launch off their back. She was really strong through the line. There are a number of forgives in this race, though. La Tigeressa, Queen Annabelle, Broadway in fourth. I thought Sakura's run was really good, never on the track and kept coming. Persuader was put into the race wider out. Horses that were just out wide and trying, or back and trying to make sweeping runs into it. The tempo's there for them to do it, but just the way the track was playing wasn't allowing them to come with those runs, and they didn't have a lot of clear air in doing it, particularly La Tigressa, Queen Annabelle, and Broadway in fourth, who you would think is going to appreciate maybe getting back to Caulfield or heading to Flemington or somewhere where she can get back and come with that big launching run that she's got.
I was watching this race with my son-in-law Dave Dino, who's a Carlton supporter, so he was on Rammer's Ruffy, so it was a little bit of light in what ultimately ended up being a pretty dark afternoon.
Yes, I thought they were a good bet yesterday. They were a good thing beaten too. He was. She was terrific, Be My Star, in that she was just going to get that right run. Blinkers back on, 7-day backup. Will Clarkin just wouldn't have sent her over here off what looked a mediocre run without sort of planning. It was 1,000 metres back up to 1,200 blinkers on Jamie Carr. It was a good formula. They didn't go as hard as it may have looked. They were about four lengths below standard the first 400 and didn't really ramp it up. So those out the back, they just didn't have a chance. It was a good race speed for Broadway and fourth, but it just wasn't the right day for her to be able to launch like she can. La Tigeressa didn't get a chance to, and Secura was just in the wrong lane the whole way. She was, in running, seventh or eighth, she was one of the better runs of the day. I thought her effort was terrific. And Call Me Royal, she's a horse that can lead at an above average tempo. And when there were a couple kick up inside her she came back, her chance was totally gone.
Few from the stewards report noted as being held up, Queen Annabelle, La Tigeressa and Broadway and fourth. And you've outlined, Dino, that we know that Broadway and fourth's got that good finish on her, but the way the race shaped up yesterday, where she was and where she was having to make that run, just didn't really suit her to be able to build momentum at the right time.
Just the day, Warren, more than anything, because she sprints very hard off slow speeds. That's what she can do, because she just builds gradually. But if they go really hard, they actually string out too much for her and they dull her finish. So you look at the figures of her. That was a perfect race speed for her yesterday, but just not a track that she could launch down the centre, because it was just probably inferior ground.
Jamie Carr, second leg of a double in the last. Be My Star for Will Clarkin, taking out the race over 1,200 metres. There was group racing at Eagle Farm yesterday. We'll turn our attention to that after this.
Correct Weight, brought to you by TAB. Long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help, 1-800-858-858.
El Judas now got the lead. Florent tries. Down the outside, Money Magic has been wide. Further out to Vanna Girl. Celestial Falls and Salome. But here's Vanna Girl down the outside. She's ranged up. Celestial Falls tries to go with her. Salome is late down the outside from Florent. But Vanna Girl's a length and a half clear. She's done it again. And Brad Stewart's done it again. Brilliant. Vanna Girl defeats Salome and Celestial Falls.
Well, for me, that was the win of the day around Australia yesterday, Dino. She's stringing together that picket fence out to 1,800 metres. And, I'm not saying she's a Caulfield Cup contender yet, but gee, she's an exciting horse. What did you make of the win of Vanna Girl?
I'm very glad you highlighted her 2 weeks ago, Warren, because I had something on her off the back of you, your rap on her. And she was stunning yesterday. I don't know which way. They could go anyway with her. I'm thinking, you know, she might be a better sort of Empire Rose off a fast mile speed. But, you know, she could lengthen out. Who knows? But the other feature of the race was Brad Stewart's ride. And his riding in general of late, he showed it in two different lights yesterday with Goulwar and Vanna Girl, and her speed figures were outstanding yesterday out of that win. And I agree with you. It was the run of the day for me, Australia wide. She was very comprehensive the way she put that field away late.
Toby Edmonds outlined it at Brendan when I was talking to him earlier that Brad Stewart's been seen as a bit of an underachiever relative to his talent because according to Toby, he'd have the ability to mix it anywhere, but he probably has quite had the application that he's needed. But that ride in the first couple of hundred metres yesterday where he just knew where he wanted to be and own a spot, one off the fence from that draw, just, you know, was the ride of an elite jockey to my eye. How did you see this race?
Yeah, that's a ride where you could go anywhere. If you could produce that every time you went out, you'd be the elite, if not only just amongst the elite. He, as soon as the gates opened, you watch the first 150 metres of the race. He's got eagle eyes on worse than midfield one off, and he did his best to get Vanna Girl there, and she was super once she got to the outside. I thought Florent ran a really good race up on the speed. The runner-up was good, but jumped onto the coattails of Vanna Girl from a fair way out, but she was outstanding yesterday.
We've got a handle on the form of a few in this race, Dino, particular Celestial Falls, Florent, who's had a really good preparation, and Skyhorse from the Mara and Eustace stable. How did you assess the performances of those back in the field?
I think Florent was terrific. She, as we said, she's had a great campaign. She won that Rich Vobis race, and going up there and running well yesterday. Seller made Celestial Falls, filling the placings. Ran well, but no match for the winner. And as you said, maybe Skyhorse getting to the back end of it. She had that run on very, very testing ground at Sandown, and then in that very fast race in the Gunsind, the two horses that ran 1-2 kicked on, and obviously in the rough habit last week, maybe she just had enough for now. But I couldn't speak more highly of Vanna Girl and Brad Stewart, who did actually have a stint in Victoria about 24 years ago with Pat Hyland when he was an apprentice. He spent about 3 months down here, and he had some good success too. And I agree with Toby Edmonds. His skill is elite. He's just he's probably just flown under the radar for a long time.
Vanna Girl, highlight of racing for a number of people around Australia yesterday with that win over 1,800 metres at Eagle Farm. Brad Stewart's skills were also on show, this time riding the speed on Goulwar for James Cummings in race 8.
Goulwar by 3 lengths from Ella Devine. Over on the inside there is Best of Days. Military Zone down the outside. Get stuck in the next one. Nickanova's still got 6 lengths to make up. Goulwar about 3 lengths in front from Military Zone. Making ground. Best of Days over on the inside. Nickanova down the outside. Goulwar, Best of Days the inside. Lifting late, Military Zone and Nickanova. Goulwar's in front. Nickanova flashing. I think it just missed, but it's a photo. Goulwar, Nickanova, Best of Days, Military Zone photos.
Margin of nose, so Josh Fleming got that right. Did just fail Nickanova, and no doubt a lot of multis have gone out the window there as the short price favourite. Brendan, I know James Cummings has got the number of horses at his disposal, but his ability to grade them and place them and continue to get them ticking over and winning races is a credit to the Godolphin operation as much as anything else. I know they work as a team, but finding the right race for these horses is not easy, and he tends to grade them very well.
Particularly when there's so many of them as well. It's not like he's working with a handful, and they keep churning out winners all over the place, and another good display of place. But their Best of Days, his stablemate, ran well back to his inside, but another good ride from Brad Stewart. Tempo dropped, and he wasn't going to have it with Goulwar. He just let him run on, and a few of his main rivals, including Nickanova, he was going to be standing them up a bit with some work to do at the top of the straight. Nickanova still had 7 or 8 to make. make up by the time they really flattened out for the run in. Goolwa was probably out of tickets by then, but the winning move was probably when he rolled on when the tempo came out of it. Military Zone had its chance, had the right run, probably looked the winner for a fraction. Best of Days ran a solid race. Nick and Over chase well. Silvera runs well, but I think Just the Move, he could have sat there, Brad Stewart on Goolwa, and maybe got over racing when that tempo came out, but just to take the initiative to slide on and ride his own race is probably what won it for him there.
Probably not what anyone who backed Nick and Over wanted to hear, but reading from the stewards report, race three wide until approaching the 800-metre mark, hung out under pressure over the final 300 metres, and Jimmy Orman dropped his offside rein passing the 150-metre mark, and excessive use of the whip was rampant right throughout Australia yesterday. He was fined for excessive use of the whip. You referenced, Dino, that we saw a different style of ride from Brad Stewart aboard Goolwa. How did you see this race?
Yeah, terrific initiative, rode along. Nick and Over, I thought he took a while to pick up, but he was still going to win, and then James Orman dropped the rein, and it just unbalances horses. And when you get beaten 0.1 of a length, that's the difference. He probably should have won. I thought Best of Days ran okay. It's a bit of a heartbreaker, Chaotic, but I think probably coming off those wet tracks in Melbourne, he just wasn't fast enough for the mile there yesterday, but he was still okay late, and there's going to be a day for him. Chris Waller will find the right race for him. It's got to be firm ground and might even be a little bit further.
Waller had the first four across the line in the Tats Cup, and if I remember rightly, Dino, you identified Brimham Rocks as the one that might be improving into the Tats Cup. How did you see Ryan Maloney's ride there?
I was very happy with his ride, Warren, and you're right. Yes, on Friday morning we gave out Brimham Rocks as a good chance, and what he did in the first 200 metres, like Brimham Rocks, it's just been jumping and sort of, you know, getting his spot pretty casually. Because he drew well, Ryan Maloney just said, just kept him at it early and put him in the race and gave him that chance to win. The race presented, and Brimham Rocks actually, got the job done and done well. And, you know, he wasn't that far off getting a run in a Melbourne Cup a couple of years ago, and he's a very capable stayer, and they sort of take their turns. These Waller horses, when they peak, Lejeune peaked for that race a few weeks ago. Brimham Rocks has hit his peak, and maybe it's the chance for Savakul or Schraro in the upcoming weeks to hit their peak, but it was Brimham Rocks yesterday.
Your thoughts on this race, Brendan?
Yeah, ridden to suit the tempo of the race. There, Brimham Rocks, he had the right run to suit the speed, and he was able to hold off the challengers late. Savakul, the chase was good. Red Steiner was one that wasn't from the Waller combination that stood them up a bit of a starter, made some ground. Chereau made ground to the inside. Lejeune, they're all around the same mark, these Waller horses. It's just going to be who gets the right run and in the right circumstances to bob up on the day.
SMS earlier in the program, Dino, just outlining that Dale Smith's getting up on a few long shots, and good to see him have that victory at stakes level aboard In Good Time for Tracy Bartley yesterday. The first and the last leg of the quaddies weren't necessarily good for the majority of quaddie takers, but some good stories and good performances out of both of those races.
Yeah, good for the young fella as you referred to, Dale Smith. He's going very well. The Victorian riders that have moved to Queensland are having a great time of it. We just spoke of Ryan Maloney. Steph Thornton's had a great season. Andrew Mallion's building good connections. So, yeah, they're doing very well. And Dale Smith certainly has had a good time of it up there.
Thought in that race, you know what you get a bit with Scalopini. He wouldn't have lost any admirers, so to speak, in a cliched term. He ran well, but just had too much to do.
Yeah, I thought it probably got out too wide when he had to try and make that his big finishing run. He just it just took too long for him to get going. I thought his run was quite good. The one that didn't turn up yesterday was Brave Song. He was disappointing. Weather is a little bit close in the run from Barrier 1, but he was disappointing.
Barry Square earlier on with Joe McKinnon. Brendan trained the last winner in Love You Lucy. He's about to turn 80. Love You Lucy injured him recently, so he stopped riding track work only recently at his wife's behest, but he was happy to take the 40s yesterday. So Barry's had a good day with Love You Lucy, who wrecked the quaddie for a few in the last.
Yeah, Rick, Drew 16 got up on the fence to win. Not often you see that, but nice bit of riding from Glenn Collis. Quinella came up the inside when, just as it looked as though Winter Bride was probably going to claim them, Love You Lucy and River Race of the pair up the fence were able to get through and blow them out.
Under different circumstances, Dino, they've probably cobbled together a Brisbane Carnival where there's going to be some good form to come out of it, and despite the fact that it didn't have quite the longevity of previous Brisbane carnivals. But, you know, races like the Stradbroke last week and the JJ Atkins and some of the races from yesterday could well be a pointer to the future.
Oh, I think so. We didn't get to see the three-year-olds extend out to the absolute, you know, mile and a half of the Derby and the Oaks, but we saw a bit of quality, obviously, with Vanna Girl, and I think last week with the Rough Habit was a pretty handy race because it was a high-pressure race. So, it's been quite a good carnival, and it was a great story with the last winner yesterday on the Channel 7 coverage. Pat Welsh had done a story on Barry Square Quiet prior to the race, and then she gets up and wins the last, and that's her second stakes win in about 6 weeks.
What about the two-year-old yesterday, Smart and Sexy winning? We hadn't touched on that, the Del Rello. Do you have an opinion on that race? Bit of a bunch finish, six across the line, even seven across the line within 1.2 lengths of each other?
That was the key element, Warren. I didn't know where to look. Smart and Sexy got the job done, and just continuing the great run for Team Edmonds. They had a great day again yesterday, this horse did a good job, just being around the mark in these sort of races. But as you said, hard to sort of line up when they finished in such a bunch.
Do you have an opinion on that race, Brendan?
She nearly threw it away, Smart and Sexy, when she just ducked in behind them. She was under pressure, being chased along a fair way out, but I think it was about the 150 or so just before she hooked to the outside and really came through with her run. She ducked in. Had she ducked in for another stride, she probably doesn't get there. Good effort from her. I thought the One Shy Ruby was pretty brave in defeat. Be My Water Friend at start two closed off pretty well, but a good effort from the winner.
Dino covered it off with Joe McKinnon, and Lindsay Smith's put it out on social media and announced that it's finally time to pull the final curtain on Blackheart Bart after that performance in the Hyperion in Perth yesterday.
Yeah, he had a wide run, but obviously he bled as well. So, you know, he's too old to be doing that, and he's done his job. Marvellous performer that he's been, and he'll I'm sure live a great life in retirement because he's certainly earned it.
What about internationally? Anything we need to touch on before we get the runs of the day and horses to follow? To your ride, Dino?
Yeah, Irish racing, of course, restarted this week, Warren, and a few horses that we might see later in the season. Buckhurst was narrowly beaten for Team Williams through the week, and Latrobe, I thought, ran an adequate fifth on Friday, looking as though he needed the run. But last night, Magic Wand, who we've seen everywhere, she won a Group 2 and won it easily, and she still entered for Ascot this week as well, so don't know if she's going to back up. And the 1,000 Guineas was run there, and Aidan O'Brien finished first and third. Donica O'Brien finished second, and the other O'Brien, Joseph O'Brien, finished fourth. So a real family affair with Peaceful winning, but the O'Briens filling the first four, but three different trainers.
Oh, a bit disappointed Danny couldn't get a runner over there.
No,
Brendan,
exactly.
were you up with your good mate Carl DiOrio taking all this international stuff in?
Once upon a time it would have been Warren, but with two children waking me up very early, it'd be an all-nighter. So with work to do during the day, I don't catch them at this stage.
Good competitive racing right around Australia yesterday, and Dino's kept us up to date with some international performances. Time to get the take on runs of the day and horses to follow from the boys.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
I've got a feeling we might be in a little bit of sync here, Dino, with runs of the day and horses to follow, but I'll get your take on it before I see how closely we align.
Yeah, I think we'll be right with the runs of the day. Vanna Girl was just such a complete performance. I really like her going forward. We won't see her for a little while probably, but keep following her. And out of the benchmark race yesterday at Moonee Valley, Heavenly Emperor, I just thought he got in all the wrong spots, and he's a better Flemington horse anyway. There'll be a race for him in the next few weeks.
Great work this morning, Dino, and obviously great work over the weekend. The loyal RSN 927 listeners have been well rewarded. There's calls for knighthoods and statues. We'll try and just keep a lid on it here, but just keep up the good work, and thanks again for this morning.
Just check some money orders, Warren, that's fine. Forget the statue.
Yeah, just send money. Brendan Delaney, you're about to take over and send us through Sunday Central with RSN 927. What's your take on yesterday?
Hard to go past Vanagul from a Moonee Valley perspective. I'm going to stick with my mate Harbour Views. Matty Williams will be pleased to know. Had a quick check on the .com website. His rating's up to 94 now, so he'll be pleased with that. One to follow. I'm going to stick with Reykjavik. I thought his run there yesterday against the pattern of the day was pretty good. We know he's better at Flemington. You know what you're going to get with him. He's going to be in the first half of the field, and he'll be charging through the line, so I'm sticking with him.
With Vanagul, she's a good girl. She was the run of the day for sure. And I thought Sense of Honour against the pattern of the day was a good return in the first at Moonee Valley. And there might be a win in store for Sense of Honour. That's my take on a run of the day, a horse to follow. Stay with us. Brendan Delaney about to take us through Sunday Central, Ballarat and Moe, the focus of racing throughout Victoria.